D-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
It is trifecta time. Time once again for those of us here on the jury to remember those who have recently passed and consider their accomplishments and their worthiness for a three-bedroom apartment in the sky. We welcome the ticket's very own Donovan Lewis, usually. And I bet today we still do it. Donovan.
Hardline.
There he is.
Hey, Donnie.
There he is.
What do we got, Deej?
Working on room 605, currently occupied by the very controversial Lou Holtz.
That's right. Incredibly controversial. We'll see if another member can join him. It's today we try to induct the former rock and roll star known as Chuck Negron.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
What a treat.
In there
this
with
is.
Lou Holtz? You think he'll approve that?
Lou is not going to like what he's about to hear. If Lou is sitting there going, I wonder who my roommate is. Let me turn on 96.
Wonder who my roommate's going to be.
Deej, who finished off 604 with Duvall and Jesse Jackson? I can't remember. I stopped down the entire show.
Sonny Jurgensen.
Oh, yeah.
Sonny, the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, your guy.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
All quarterbacks are my guy.
God. His guy. So Chuck Negron was one of the, he really is the singer that people remember the most, even though they had three vocalists. He is the guy whose voice you hear on most of their hits of the band Three Dog Night. And Three Dog Night was a band that formed in the late 60s and made it through the 70s, or I think the mid 70s before things kind of went to hell in a handbasket. And it mainly went to hell in a handbasket because of Chuck Negron. And
do you know the origin of the name
of Three Dog Night?
Yeah.
I
mean, it's an expression.
Yeah.
It's like it's
not
so
Chuck Negron.
It's so cold. It's so cold. You need to cuddle with three dogs to stay warm.
Yeah. The shepherds back in the day. Norm used to love to tell this story, which I'm sure Donovan remembers. But yeah, it's a Three Dog Night.
Donovan would just tune out Norm's stories.
Probably. So
what?
Chuck played.
He tunes out even when you mention.
He goes
Norm's
to
story.
Screensaver when you say the name Norm.
Oh, hit the corner! Hitting the corner right at the, yeah, at the same time. Yeah. It's great.
So Chuck was a basketball player, a really, really good high school basketball player, and ended up playing basketball in college out in California at Cal State University.
Generic.
I don't know what that is now, but I don't think it's Cal State. Maybe Cal State Northridge? Not sure. But he was a really good athlete and, again, played college basketball and was really into singing and rock and roll and in that scene. And one of the singers for Three Dog Night, a guy named Danny Hutton, saw him play live one night and was like, dude, we need another vocalist. Why don't you come in here and see what we can do together? Well, that started really one of the most successful bands of the 60s and 70s. And if you don't know who Three Dog Night is, I would at the very least expect you to know this song.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Duh.
Was a good friend of mine.
Damn it.
This song was so huge. I mean, it's a great hook.
Beating or no?
Such a beating.
Even when you were a kid?
Well, it sounds like one of those, like Conjunction Junction, one of those Schoolhouse Rock songs.
Yeah, it does. Boy, it really does. I hadn't even thought about that.
So this shot straight to the top of the charts.
Oh, Fat Albert song.
Yeah.
So over a... Think about this, and I get it, it's a different time. But after this song came out, or right when this song came out, over a five-year span, they sold 60 million records.
God.
60 million.
How many are in a landfill now?
Play Mama Told Me Not to Come.
Whoa.
That's the name of the song, Dave.
Okay.
I'm not ready yet, Mom. And you thought he was going to be able to handle that. You work with him every day.
I love this song.
Why did you say it like that?
Because it's the name of the song. And as a kid, I never thought of it that way, you horn dog.
Why, Mom? Why?
This is a great hook, too.
I mean, they could have said, Mama told me not to go. Open up the
window. Let some air. So that's Chuck singing those songs. He also did that. Now, to me, this is the biggest beating. The third song there. Well, I never been to Spain. But I kind of like the music. See, the ladies are insane there. All of these are number one, by the way. Like, with a bullet, number one.
They don't abuse
it. Never gonna lose. Is this before the hot dog problem?
We'll get to that. I know you can't think of anything but that.
And the freebasing.
I don't think I've ever heard this one.
Really?
What's this one called?
Never Been to Spain.
I don't know this one.
Really?
No. And this was bigger than One is the Loneliest Number?
Yeah. Yeah, this is huge. You never heard that? And I've been to Oklahoma.
No.
Bingo. Can't bingo a state.
I just did. Well, I never been to heaven,
but I've been to Oklahoma. Bingo. And yes, and of course One, which for my money, I thought this was right behind Joy to the World.
This is a great earworm.
Oh, yeah, dude. Look, all of their songs are earworms. They really are. They were great songwriters, and he was a badass vocalist.
What movie was this in?
Boy, I bet you it's been in several, but maybe something that...
I feel like someone's...
Snatch?
Like was singing this in the movie. I don't know why I want to see Steve Carell sing this.
It's not a car commercial or a cell phone commercial or something.
It may be.
So our little Chuck, he... didn't take fame too well, as he went from a guy that never drank, never did anything, to doing anything and everything. And I'm not even joking. By the time 1975 rolled around and they were one of the biggest acts in the world, he was hooked on cocaine, he was hooked on heroin, and he would utilize that and his rock and roll status to basically have sex with everyone. And
everyone?
Dude, yeah. Anyone and everyone. And it gets really bad here, Donovan. But first, okay. in the book that he wrote, which was brilliant name for a book, Three Dog Nightmare, in which it details the horrors of his addiction. And he ended up going to rehab 37 times.
Oh, damn.
What?
37 times.
That's got to be the record.
He was in rehab and finally found a place that in 1991, when he was homeless, by the way, this guy, he blew everything, as you can imagine, and
hear that, Bob?
lost everything, thrown out of the band, you know, tried a solo career, couldn't do it just because he was so hooked on drugs. And finally got clean, though, in 91. Well, in the meantime, like in the years between 75 and 91, like I said, he would just, he had a $2,000 a day drug habit until he ran out of money. $2,000 every day. And this is in the 70s. So what is that? Is that $10,000 or something now that you're spending every day on coke and heroin? And he was, again, like going from, as his book details, he would get high and have these 3 or 4 day benders where he didn't sleep, where he would get high, have sex with someone, and it was a revolving door in his house. Like, he basically would go to another room, have sex, another room, have sex. Like, he just kept doing it.
Corby Davidson.
So it's so bad that he develops this really, really bad chafing, not to mention all these, you know, STDs and things like that, but this chafing on his ween.
I'm familiar.
And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him, if you have, you need to let it die down here. Because if you do this again, you're going to have major, major issues to the tune of, this thing could split wide open. He doesn't listen to the doctor. And in the throes of having sex with a Miss America contestant, unnamed, he says that he hears a whooshing sound down there. And he looks down, and it is split open like a hot dog.
Okay. I'm about to be sick.
Off. Very well-known rock and roll sex story.
An underrated way of preparing a hot dog, by the way.
I totally agree.
Splitting it down the middle. And
yes. Yeah. So that happened.
So usually you turn it over and fry it in a pan.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. So how'd the date end?
I believe that he was not going to pay for the, or she was not going to go out on the second date. As she's covered in blood.
Well, we could see what the audience picked for you.
Is that blood? Do you think that's a...
Ease.
No, I split his D in half.
Is that blood?
I don't think I've ever heard those two words together in my life. Until today.
And you were better for it.
54 years old, and it's the first time I've heard that put together.
It didn't go as well as I thought. I was hoping for better. But anyway, he gets clean in 91, and there...
They sewed it back up.
He cleaned up in 91.
Several machinations.
He cleaned up right there.
Of Three Dog Night and Chuck. Matter of fact, Chuck's most famous record...
Did they splint it with a hot dog bun?
Well, they did have to go in, and they said that the nurses and doctors were all laughing while they were putting it back together.
Well, that's like, not very nice.
I know.
They wouldn't do that on the pit.
Yeah. No, they would not.
That's a storyline they need to bring into the pit.
They're all pointing and laughing.
But his
most
famous solo record was a live recording that was done at SMU at Moody Coliseum, in which he went over
He wakes up and there's condiments on his bed.
In 2000 or 2001, did a full show at Moody, and by all accounts, it was awesome, and it was a big seller for old Chuck. But yeah, Chuck Negron, part of definite big time musical history and big time rock and roll lore with the drugs and the wiener and all that good stuff.
I forget, what was the cause of death?
You know what?
Torn ween.
No,
death was... by hot dog. Blood loss inside Miss America.
Let's see, he died of heart failure. And the thing is that he was 83 years old. That guy should have been dead in 1975. 50 years ago.
And his family on the front row.
Dude, he admits it. He was like, I can't believe I'm alive. But he was married four times. He married John Densmore, the Doors drummer. He married his ex-wife. He married, he married four times. So anyway, Chuck Negron dead at 83. Michael Dixon, does he belong?
I don't think so.
DJ.
Here. Somebody just sent us the...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Ham?
If you split a wiener, you're in.
I mean...
The body of musical work is good, too.
Yes. I mean, I'm going to say yes.
That guy had... Again, he sold 60 million records and had five or six number one hits.
Donnie?
Wiener. Yeah. If the dude is going to do that with his... with his piece, then he definitely deserves to be in.
I'm putting him in too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lou Holtz, welcome your new neighbor. And remember, you roll in there at 33. So he's still like just a Lou Holtz is going to try to get him back into basketball shape.
Okay. I did get confirmation that I've heard this before. It was the dude in prison on Fresh Prince that sang One is the Loneliest Number. I knew I heard that from somewhere.
Unbelievable.
Thank you. Whoever sent that to me, Paul Roberts, thank you, because it was going to bother me the entire evening.
That is unbelievable.
So Fresh Prince. The guy on Fresh Prince split it?
Bob, you are way better than that.
What a weird storyline for
Yeah. Season two of The Fresh Prince.
Carlton doing a Carlton dance, and he did it one too many times, and he splits.
All right, Donnie, thank you very much.
Fellas, have a good one.
We'll see you. There he goes, Donovan Lewis of The Invasion. Check him out 9 to 1 every single day. Okay, so yesterday we did the story during Trifecta of Chuck Negron, one of the lead singers of Three Dog Night, the main guy. And Chuck liked to party. He
was straight edge until he wasn't.
He was straight edge. Then he got, I've never heard a story of someone going so far over the edge. Did get his act cleaned up by 1991, and he made it to the ripe old age of 83. When, as he says, I should have died 100 times when I was 25. So the capper of the Chuck Negron story, though, was he was so addicted to cocaine, heroin, and sex that he would do all of them all day long, every day. And so he was having so much sex that he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you know what you should do first is probably stop doing cocaine and heroin. And then also, it looks like you're having so much sex that you're going to do damage to your ween. And sure enough, the next time that he did it, he split it open like a hot dog. And so this guy brings up this hot dog point.
Hello, Hardline. Just listened to the segment about the Three Dog Night guy and his medical problem, if we will. This got me thinking, he's not the guy that's had the most Grex in history. So who else has this happened to? How often does it happen? Guys this side of Will Chamberlain and Gene Simmons who spin tales that they've done with scores and scores of women. I don't know. Has someone looked into that? Shall we recklessly speculate on who this is going to happen to next? Tiger? Or, I don't know. You tell me, Hardline.
Okay, so there's a huge difference between the Wilt Chamberlain claims or, you know, take your... who? Warren Beatty-type guys that were notorious celebrities that were constantly having sex with women. This was a drug-fueled couple of years where it was nonstop.
It was trains all day.
Yeah. And so it wasn't like, might I squire you about town and let's, you know, have a nice dinner and some wine and then maybe go back to my place later on. This was shoot up, snort, bang, in succession all day long, every day it sounded like for ever and ever and ever.
Yeah, and he would have... on tour, he would have multiple hotel rooms. At his home, he would have multiple rooms, and he would have different people queued up.
Yeah.
So once he was done with one person, then he would go to the next person.
Are we short of information here, would be the question. Like
what, he was strung out, he didn't believe in lube?
I would try to put it a little more gently in the terms of...
I can promise you that's not where he was going with that, Dave.
Is it overuse or misuse?
Go on.
Was he attempting some crazy things that it wasn't intended for?
No, I think it's just like anything else.
Jousting?
Maybe was he trying to joust? On a horse.
I think that he said that it became...
at high speeds.
It became incredibly chafed. And that's when the doctor said, you're getting ready to do some real damage here. And no, I just think it was the frequency and the limited amount of time. And so again, with Wilt Chamberlain, he made a...
What sort of doctor appointment is this as well?
I don't know.
Where it's like, man... what's going on down here?
I don't know. I mean, does that happen now?
Well, I don't know. Was there some lead up to this where, man, I got to get in there and have things looked at? This ain't working out right.
Well, like, is there a Chris Dallas guy that fancies himself?
And then a doctor is telling you, hey, knock it off, and you're just like, yeah, dude, that ain't happening.
Right. He's like, I gave you my diagnosis based on what based on what you showed me. I'm telling you what to do or what not to do. And he still went in there within 24 hours and split it wide open.
So he'd worn the skin down to, like, tissue paper thin.
Yeah.
And then also, what sort of documentation do we have on this? Is this Mikey and Pop Rocks? Is this
no?
This is just him saying this and like his behind the music.
It's
right?
In his book, which we said was called what was it called? Three Dog Nightmare.
Microwaved hot dog.
Three Dog Nightmare. It wasn't all about that. It was about the whole scene of what, you know, how he spiraled out of control, but. Yeah, I don't think that there's anyone, I've never heard this before, maybe like back in medieval times when that's all people did, you just ate all day and...
I mean, maybe Charlie Sheen got close at some point.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because he was not leaving anyone off of his buffet.
No. From what we've read about kings... throughout, you know, monarchies in times hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
And that was definitely before Lou.
Yes, it was B.L. We've determined when cheese came about and when dragons were eliminated, but we don't know when the exact time of B.L. is.
Yeah. Did we have lube before cheese or cheese before lube?
Just stop saying lube. Jeez.
Anyway, I think this is an incredibly unique case in which probably it will never happen again. Probably because most people that are doing that many drugs, they die. Like, that's just the bottom line.
We got it.
Oh, my God. You said the worst word you could possibly say.
Unintentionally.
It doesn't matter.
Cut with fentanyl.
These poor people out here trying to enjoy their Friday, and now...
He's dropping C-bombs.
We're sorry.
Dave.
It's like we were in London for a few minutes there.
No, but to your point...
Uh-huh.
To your point...
We're just supposed to carry on now.
At the height of his drug use, drugs weren't as... potentially deadly as they are
now. I think you're completely wrong.
You don't think so?
Dude, no.
Heroin could always kill you?
Yes. People were dying left and right of heroin and cocaine overdoses. It was equally as strong. I don't think it's like weed where it's like kind of improved in potency through the years. But anyway, shout out to Chuck Negron and all those who aspire to have a hot dog wiener.
So what does rehab look like?
Well, he went 37 times.
Not that rehab.
Oh.
As we're trying to...
Isn't it all part of the same thing,
get
probably?
Get back to full health.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is that your final go?
For a guy like that...
He probably needed, like, a chastity belt.
Yeah, for real.